This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wada. This is week 3 for hadith. Today we're going to look at one thing and one thing only, and that is the various types of hadith books and compilations. So we took last week the various methods of teaching. I believe we mentioned 5, and then various types of narrating, we mentioned 5 also. So after they would narrate, what would happen? Of course, some of the ulama, some of the mashayikh, they would go and compile these ahadith, wa alaykum salam akhi, into various books and compilations. And thus, they have the way they went about it. Of course, over time it changed, and the various styles changed as well, according to the people's needs, according to the customs, and what was more beneficial, and thus we have various names. But before we get into that, quick revision. We said the 5 teaching methods. What was the first type?
Sama'.
Sama', good, to hear. Where the student, he's directly from the teacher. What was the second?
Can you hear from the second
No, opposite. Qira'ah, good. Qira'ah, where the student will
read.
Yeah, he's qira'ah, he's reading. So he's reading to the teacher. There's another name for qira'ah. What was it? Arad, good, excellent. And arad al-shay' yani is to?
Present,
to demonstrate. So the student demonstrates his knowledge to the teacher. And these two methods were primarily the best. And over time it seems arad and qira'ah was favoured. Why? Because you're killing two birds with one stone. You're checking the understanding of the student. You're checking the understanding of the student, and you're also being corrected. He's pronouncing it. Thus, whereas when he's listening to the teacher, you can't check his pronunciation. What was the third method? Ijaza. Good. Ijaza. Which is, we said, comes from yajuz, something permissible. The teacher grants the student
permission.
Yeah, permission to teach. Ahsant. And there was various types of ijazat, and among them was the munawala. Some of the ulama put that in a separate book, separate category, which means to be granted a book. Nawala is to attain something. So it's to be attaining knowledge via books. And then we went into?
Kitaba.
Good. What's kitaba, Shabab?
Writing.
So what would happen? The student couldn't seek knowledge directly. He couldn't present his knowledge. And didn't get an ijazah. So what would happen?
Books.
Wait, what about the books? Yeah, the teacher will send the books, basically, like what you have today in correspondence learning, distance learning. So they'll send books. And then finally, what did we take?
Wijada.
Wijada, beautiful. There's another name for it. Fathul Waw. Wajada. That's right. Fathul Waw. With the Fatha on the Waw. Wajada. And what is that? Yeah, a student might, or a scholar might, discover books and they can't claim it for themselves. And we said various ways of stealing knowledge. If they were caught and copyright, basically, then they were called sariqul hadith, the hadith thief. And then we took the 5 ways of transmitting the hadith. What was the first we said? And you can look at your notes because this is good revision. Haddatha, good. And haddatha usually goes with which method? Yeah, the first, which is? That was ijazah. That was a specific book is given to a specific student. That was ijazah. We're talking about now when he'll narrate, he'll say haddatha, and that was usually associated with sama'. Good. Then, akhbara, good. And akhbarana. And that's usually associated with which method? The second. So number 2 goes with number 2. Excellent, which is qira'ah. And then the third? Anba'a. Good. And anba'ana. Associated with? Ijaza, the third. So 3 and 3, good.
Sami'a.
And then fourth was?
Sami'a.
Sami'a, did we take that as fourth? Yes, we did. Yeah. And that goes with, of course, number 1, sama'a. Excellent, that's the first method of teaching. And fifth,
an.
Is that common?
All.
Yeah, that's usually the most common way of transmitting a hadith, and it refers to all methods of learning and teaching and narrating a hadith. So that was a quick revision of what we took last week. Today, as we said, we're going to look at one thing only, and that is the various types of hadith books and compilations. Now, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba used to record the ahadith. There's proof for that, and we've already discussed this earlier. Among them, the famous hadith,
قَيِّدُ الْعِلْمِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, retain knowledge. They said, كَيْفَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ? How? He said, بِالْكِتَابَ, by writing it down. And we're going to learn in Seerah, Abu Huraira used to write down the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ and follow him on an empty stomach. And he said, I split the night into three. He would, the first part, sleep of the night. First part of the night, sleep. Second part of the night, it was for Allah, where he'll pray. Third part of the night, it was for him, where he'll revise the ahadith. Now, how would he revise the ahadith if they weren't written down? So, no doubt, the ahadith were recorded in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But, paper wasn't available in Arabia. So, where would they write? Animal skins, that's one. What else? Rocks, bark. Leaves. The shoulder blades of camels in particular, because they were large and wide and flat. So the scapula bone, in other words. So they had various writing materials. So they would record the ahadith. And whenever something was recorded in the time of the Prophet ﷺ or compiled, of course, not literally as a book form, but they would compile all of these things, what would they call it? They would call it a sahifa. Sahifa. So that's the first method in which the narrations were compiled. The first type of book or compilation was called sahifa. And what's the plural of sahifa?
Sahafa.
Suhuf. What does a sahifa mean? Today it's used for jarida, right? Newspaper. But it's anything that is recorded. In Arabic, a sahifa, anything recorded. This is in the Quran. Allah refers to the Quran as the revelation as fi suhufin mukarrama marfu'atin mutahhara. The revelation, this Quran, is in suhuf mukarrama, honored pages, elevated pages, high in the sky. So the next time the kuffar want to try and disgrace or dishonor the Quran, they have to try and go up to the heavens and get it, which they'll never be able to do. Subhanallah. It's high up, they can't reach it. Now, that was referred to anything written, as we said. So back then, leaves, bark, bones, etc. So they were called, for example, Sahifat Abi Bakr, Sahifat Ibn Mas'ud, Sahifat Umar, right? They were given those names.
And in Arabic, I'll write it for you.
So that's the first type of compilation. The ahadith were written, right? And how were they arranged?
The hadith weren't arranged in any particular order. They're just recorded. As we're going to see, other types of compilations later on, they had a particular style, particular arrangement. Whereas the suhaf, they weren't actually ordered in any particular arrangement.
Yeah, no doubt, 100%. Later on, when the fitan occurred, like Muhammad ibn Sirin said, when the civil war occurred, that's when we used to ask the people, Sammu lana rijalakum. Who are your men? Where did you learn from? Whereas in the time of the Sahaba, not everyone was deemed thiqa, trustworthy. But afterwards, that's where ilmu rijal was established, and we're going to learn that. So that was primarily first century. However, second century, of course we're talking about the Hijrah, second century Hijri, there was a compilation of a hadith in book form. However, it got a new name, and that was Musannaf. Musannaf. And that word came from Sannafa. Sannafa in Arabic literally means to author or compile. So it got the name of Musannaf. That which is compiled, literally. What's the plural? Musannafat. This has another name. I'll give you a clue. The something of Al-Imam Malik. Muwatta. Excellent. So Musannaf is also called, aka Muwatta. And the plural? Muwatta'at, Musannaf, Musannafat. So the Muwatta of Al-Imam Malik is an example of a Musannaf. It's the same thing. Muwatta means Musannaf. Musannaf means Muwatta. Ahlan bil-Shaykh Al-Fadil. Kayfa haluk? Ahlan salam. So that's basically an example of a Musannaf. Muwatta Al-Imam Malik. So if you want to add that as an example, as we said, an example of Sahifat was Sahifat Abi Bakr or Sahifat Ibn Mas'ud. You can put the companion's name. So you can put as an example, Muwatta Al-Imam Malik. And it's not Muwatta Imam Malik, it's Al-Imam Malik. I'm not going to get into the Arabic grammar behind it, but trust me. If you write Muwatta Imam Malik, you're actually saying it's the Muwatta of his Imam. Right? So Al-Imam meaning he is the Imam. But if you just put Imam Malik, you're saying the Imam of Malik. It's called Mudaf or Mudaf Ilay. It's like Rasulullah, he's a messenger of Allah. So Imam Malik, he's the Imam of Malik. You see how it changes the meaning? So Al-Imam, make sure you're Al-Imam. So it's Markaz Al-Imam Ahmed. So Al, you have to put the Al there. Al-Shaykh, you don't say Shaykh Abu Adnan, for example. But unfortunately today in the West, you know, this problem is right, Shaykh Abu Adnan. But Arabic grammar really, if you said Shaykh Abu Adnan, it's the Shaykh of Abu Adnan. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. And that was primarily 2nd century onwards. And how were the ahadith arranged? We said the Sahifa, was it arranged in any particular order? No. As for the Musannaf, there was an order. What was it? It was arranged according to Al-Abwab Al-Fiqhiyya. The ahadith were arranged according to the chapters of fiqh. Just like the Muwatta is today. So there was an order. And what kind of narrations were mentioned? Narrations of who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was that called? Remember? A couple weeks back? So now it is very important that all these lessons, they continue. Hadithun Nabawi. Ahsant. So it includes Hadithun Nabawi, but it also includes Athar. The Musannaf or the Muwatta includes Athar. What's Athar?
From Sahabi.
Ahsant. So it includes Aqwal al-Sahaba, statements of the Sahaba, or it can even include the Fatawa of the Tabi'een. So basically, two things to note here. Number one, the Musannaf was arranged according to the chapters of fiqh. Two, includes Hadithun Nabawi and Athar. And that's why it's important that we study those terms earlier, we understand them. Otherwise, when we mention Athar and Khabar, and right, these things, you'll have to re-explain them. That's why I mean, it's important to attend all the lessons, or at least listen to the recordings.
So Musannaf,
yes. So you'll find in a Musannaf, wa alaykum as-salam. Why am I mentioning this? This is important because you're going to see the Sunan is very similar to the Musannaf. The Sunan are also arranged according to Al-Abwab al-Fiqhiyya. If you open a book of Sunan, like Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan Abi Dawood, you're going to see it also arranged according to the chapters of fiqh. But how does it differ? This way. The Musannaf includes Hadith al-Nabawi and Athar, while the Sunan, only Hadith al-Nabawi, primarily. So that's the second type. You want to just take a photo, Akhi Ibrahim, quickly, before we rub off the board. We're taking, basically, various types of Hadith compilations. So in the time of the Sahaba, the way the Hadith were collected and compiled, it was referred to as a Sahifa or Suhuf. And then after that, Musannaf or Muwatta, like Muwatta al-Imam Malik. Third, now we're going into the 3rd century. Starts with the letter Mim for al-Imam Ahmad.
Musnad
al-Imam Ahmad. What's the plural of Musnad? Ah, it came from Sanad. Good. Masanid. Musnad, Jama, Masanid. So as you said, Akhi, it came from Sanad and Isnad. What's the Sanad? The chain of narration. In other words, the people narrating. So how was the Musnad compiled? According to the sanad. In other words, how are the ahadith arranged? According to the name of the narrator, the name of the sahabi. That's how the ahadith were arranged in the masanid and the musnad. Athar can include Hadith al-Nabawi and the Sahaba and the Tabi'in. So it can include all three and also Tabi'at Tabi'in. So it refers to primarily, when you hear Athar, it primarily refers to the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, Tabi'at Tabi'in, the first three generations. However, Athar can also include Hadith al-Nabawi if the Shaykh specifies it. He says, وَفِي الْأَثَرْ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ. But generally, when you hear athar, it generally means sahabi or tabi'in or those after them. And that lesson is also online. So as for musnad, the ahadith arranged according to?
The
narrator. Yeah, it goes back to the narrator. Yes, akhi.
What's the difference between a hadith and a athar that came from Rasulullah? I mean, an athar about...
If it's, generally speaking, the hadith al-Nabawi is the, basically the, it goes directly connected to the Prophet, whereas athar, not necessarily, unless it's specified. It's just terminology, mustalahat. And we've taken this, and we don't want to open that door again because we might take up a lot of the time. But listen to the recording, or the notes are also available, I believe. So for example, the way Al-Imam Ahmad's musnad is, you'll find the according to the narrators. So all the ahadith narrated from?
Abu Hurairah.
Abu Hurairah, or Ibn Abbas or Ibn Mas'ud, like that. So they're arranged according to the narrator. So an example we said would be Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, but it's not the only Musnad, of course. There's Musnad al-Firdaus. There are others, but Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, of course, became very popular. And interestingly, there are many ahadith in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad that are authentic that aren't even mentioned in al-Bukhari or Muslim. And that's why it became very popular. So it's very, very good book to rely on. And that's why some of the ulama said it was called Musnad, because Asnad Ali, he relied on it, literally. So it's Asnad Ali Shay is to lean on, to rely on, Tawakkal Ali. So Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, and of course we said Musnad al-Firdaus, these are just examples. Now, as we said, the hadith arranged according to the narrator. However, this method lost popularity over time. Why? Because this wasn't in? No, because of the ignorance that spread in the ummah. You find over time, people lost knowledge of the sanad. They just focused on?
The hadith.
Yeah, the matan, ahsant. Good, see those terms, very important to mention. The matan itself, which is the hadith itself. And just like today, a lot of people don't even know the narrator of the hadith. At best, they might know a word, maybe from the Arabic, maybe a word or how it starts. But forget the whole hadith, forget the matan, right? That's long gone. إِلَّا مَرَحِمَ اللَّهِ. Unless, of course, there's a muhadith or a scholar in our time. So, back then, if someone said, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, we know this is hadith. Umar ibn al-Khattab. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنُهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Hadith? Aisha, good. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. Hadith Uthman. So they knew all those things, but over time, because people lost that knowledge, they thought, you know what, it's better to arrange these ahadith not according to the narrator, but according to the chapters of fiqh. So that you find a lot of the books later on that became very popular were like that, and thus they got a new title. What was it? We mentioned it earlier. It hasn't been on the board yet. It's another type of compilation. So we have the Sahifa, we have the Musannaf, the Musnad, and I mentioned them. Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood,
Sunan,
good. So that would be the fourth now. Fourth. And if you're lost, we said what would happen, the scholars would compile a hadith, and depending on how they compiled it, it got a name. So sometimes the ahadith were compiled in a book form according to the name of the narrator. That was called musnad from sanad, because the sanad is the chain of narrators. So based on how it was compiled, it earned a different name. And also depending on what was included, it earned a different name. Inshallah, I'm not losing any of you. Good so far? All right. We only go up to six. There's others, but these became the most popular. Fourth type of hadith book or compilation, as we said, the Sunan. The notes, maybe one of the brothers can share them. Finally, how important are these terms? We hear them a lot, but many of us don't know what they mean. But now we know, and that's knowledge. It takes a long time to get to that stuff, the deep stuff. Sometimes people want knowledge pronto, yalla, quick. Overnight sheikh. He wants everything, because he's used to everything fast. Fast food, right? Fast cash, fast car.
Fast clothes,
yeah. Fast women, astaghfirullah. He wants everything quick. That's the worst for you, right? But knowledge can be fast. As Az-Zuhri said, مَنْ رَامَ الْعَلْمَ جُمْلَةً ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ جُمْلَةً. You seek knowledge in one go, Habibi, you lose it in one go. So that's knowledge. Sometimes, yani, people are impatient, they won't get anywhere. But rather, to get that which you love, you got to first be patient with that which you hate. So this is, we said number?
Four.
Sunan. And the word Sunan, of course, came from which word? Sunnah. So primarily, a book of Sunan includes?
The Sunnah.
The Ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In other words, it's restricted primarily to Hadithun Nabawi. So as for examples, no doubt, Sunan, help me out here, give me some names.
Abu Dawood.
At-Tirmidhi, excellent.
An-Nisa'i.
Nasa'i.
Sorry, An-Nisa'i.
Good. If you say Ni, huwa Nisa'i. Yeah, Sunan An-Nasa'i. Yeah, say it, An-Nasa'i. Sunan An-Nasa'i. Interesting you say that. Yes and no. No doubt Al-Bukhari and Muslim are considered books of Sunan because of how they arranged. However, it earned a new class, a new category due to its high level, and we're going to mention that after this. So Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan, what else?
Ibn Majah, good. So there are many types.
So basically, how are the Sunan arranged? The Hadith are arranged according to? Chapters of fiqh.
Just like which other compilation?
The Musannaf. Another name for the Musannaf? I'm checking your memory. Muwatta. Good.
Very close.
So, Muwatta is like Sunan, is that what you're saying?
Yes, however, it differs in one way primarily. What is it? Perfect. You find the Sunan is restricted to the Sunnah, Ahadithun Nabawiyya, whereas the Musannaf and the Muwatta includes Ahadith Nabawiyya, but also includes Athar, Statement of the Companions, or Fatawa of the Tabi'een, etc. So it includes other things. So the Sunan restricted to Hadithun Nabawiyya. I put the abbreviation there, just to make it easier for you. Fifth, the Sahih. What's the plural of Sahih?
Sihah.
It came from sihah, to be well, to be good, healthy, right? They're all connected. Sihah. So the sahih, like sahih al-Bukhari, sahih
Muslim,
sahih Ibn Hibban. There's others, but they of course became most popular. So sahih al-Bukhari and sahih Muslim, sahih Ibn Hibban. Now, they are also arranged according to the chapters of fiqh. However, because of their sihha, the sahih narrations, and their high level, they earned a separate title, in other words, a league of their own. So you find a lot of the times the ulama will classify this as a separate group, separate category. But in reality, they are sunan. They are sunan, yes. Because they're arranged according to the chapters of fiqh. If you would open Sahih al-Bukhari, you'll find that. And Muslim also. And you may ask, why didn't Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and Nasa'i, others, why didn't they just restrict it to the authentic ahadith? Many reasons. Perhaps they didn't know some at the time. The ahadith may have been weak, because you find sometimes these books, like Sunan Abi Dawood and Tirmidhi, they might have some weak ahadith. Perhaps they didn't know. Their purpose wasn't to compile the sahih ahadith. Their purpose was basically, look, we're going to compile what we have and we'll leave it to the ulama after us to sift through and to ensure what is authentic or not. So it came back down to their goals. While Al-Bukhari and Muslim place strict conditions that I'm only going to include that which is sahih. So the Arabic is like this, for those writing it. And sihah is a plural. So the description of the sahih, as we said, it's exactly like sunan. The ahadith are arranged according to the chapters of fiqh as well, and the narrations are restricted primarily to the hadith of the Prophet.
So it's not
Hadith. 100%, yes. So not one single hadith in al-Bukhari or Muslim are da'if. Not a single one. Alhamdulillah. Don't know what the Shia or the Ahbash say, these people are deviants. Haters are going to hate. I encourage all of you to read, or at least listen to, the biography of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and you'll find in his time he had haters. And towards the end of his life, no one wanted to learn from him. Naam. Because of the haters, akhi. They destroyed his da'wah. But after that, Allah blessed it. And it was a test for him. Allah blessed his works. And it was called Sahih al-Bukhari. And in fact, that wasn't actually the title he gave it. Look how Allah honored him. And he honored his work because of ikhlas, akhi. Something we all need. Allah honored his book so much. You don't say al-Bukhari, except you say Sahih al-Bukhari next to it. What an honor. Imagine having the word Sahih next to your name. Yani, if you have sidq with Allah, that's what you'll get. That's what you'll get. 6. We might mention 2 more, actually. 6. Another type of... Now, these are, of course, the sahih were types of sunan, so that was overlapping 3rd and 4th century. And after that, different styles of hadith compilation occurred. Number 6, something called the mu'jam.
Mu'jam.
Mu'jam, what's a mu'jam in Arabic? It's a qamus. What's that? A dictionary, literally. A mu'jam is a dictionary. What's a plural of mu'jam? Perhaps, there's another jama' perhaps, that usually ma'ajim. Is that a cough or a sneeze? Two in one, doesn't have time. Ma'ajim. And as we said, a mu'ajam in Arabic is a dictionary. So how were the ahadith compiled, do you think?
The meanings?
How is the dictionary compiled?
Alphabetically.
So the ahadith were arranged in alphabetical order. According to what? How they ended? No, how they started. So, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ Look at إِنَّ starts with Alif Hamza. So, like that, according to the alphabet. According to the alphabet,
how they began. Well, over time, perhaps in the future, wasn't mentioned restricted to any generation. Like we have the Sunan over centuries sometimes. So according to alphabetical order and how the hadith starts. And this is something that we have today, especially with search engines. So they were the first, the Muslim scholars, to bring these ideas of search engines and so forth. Like, easy, subhanAllah. So once again, the Muslims, they were the true inventors of many things that unfortunately the West has hijacked and claimed for itself. Bulugh al-Maram, I'll have a look for you, I don't know. Anyone studied Bulugh al-Maram? From memory, I studied it a little bit. From memory, it was according to fiqh, so it would be a type of musannaf, but I have to check exactly how it's structured. So, Allahu alam. That's the safest answer. 7, the last one we're going to take today, although there are others, is the atraf. The atraf. The atraf was a type of hadith compilation, type of book, in which the ahadith were arranged according to the most important word. Most important word. That word was called miftahul hadith, the key of the hadith. So that's how the atraf were arranged, according to the most important word of the hadith. Perhaps, yes, that would be logical. Oh, an example of Mu'ajam. Sorry, I didn't give you one. Mu'ajam al-Tabarani. That's an example. If you wanted to write, if you're putting examples, Mu'ajam al-Tabarani. And Mu'ajam al-Awsat. Mu'ajam al-Awsat. And Mu'ajam al-Tabarani. Now, that most important word of the hadith for the atraf, what was it called? Miftahul hadith. Excellent. So, for example, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. It's about niyat, so that perhaps could be the key word. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا. The hadith of innovations. أَحْدَثَ, which means to invent something new. As we said, hadith means new in Arabic. So, أَحْدَثَ, to bring something new. So, those are key words of the ahadith, and thus, that's how the books of Atraf were arranged. There are others, and I also want to give you homework. There's something also became popular was the Mustadrak. Mustadrak. So I want you to find out what is the Mustadrak. That's your homework. So this is another type of book, another type of compilation in which the hadith were arranged. Homework, find out what the Mustadrak is. How does it differ from the rest? You have an answer?
Yeah.
Oh, mashallah. I thought you're not writing it down, it's up here.
Mustadrak?
Yeah, what is the Mustadrak? How does it differ from the rest? The first two we took today? Who can answer him? Good, Sahifa and Musannaf. And the word Musannaf came from Sannafa, which is to compile. And what does Sahifa mean? Anything?
Recorded
and written. Beautiful. That is it. Jazakumullahu khairan. So don't forget homework next week. Find it out. See who gets the answer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.